Amen.
Hello, everyone. We're coming to the end of our relationship, even though it's not the end of the month, it's at the end of relationship month. So from next week, it's back to normal. And I hope, like me, that you've learned and grown and been challenged in your relationship, especially in your marriage relationships. And if you're not married yet, that God is starting to prepare you and breaking open to you his heart for marriage. So this morning, I'm going to go for, just going to share a scripture that we all know. But I'm going to just share one aspect of that, and we're going to start just with Ephesians 5, which is probably the first or second most well-known scripture around marriage. But let's slowly read that together just to get the context, and then I'm just going to focus on one area of that. Ephesians 5, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So this, if we read it, most of the time we take sections out of this and we talk about how wives should submit to their husbands and how husbands have to love their wives. But what it's actually saying is that this whole thing is just a picture that God is painting of his relationship with us, his bride. And he's saying that he's the head and we are his body. And we, throughout scripture, God is always sharing about his expectation for this wedding supper of the Lamb, this wedding that's going to take place at the end. And he is very excited about that, about us preparing ourselves so that one day we're going to have this amazing wedding and banquet, and God is going to bring us all together in one. So this is kind of trying to show us a glimpse of how God connects with us, his bride. And he's saying he's the head and we are his body. And then he talks about how he washes this bride, how he's cleansing her dress, and so that ultimately there's no wrinkle, there's no stain, and that she's beautiful. And that's actually what he's doing with us all the time. That God is speaking to us, God is loving us, mostly loving us. And that love is causing us to be cleansed, to be made whole, to become pure and spotless, and then ultimately to become radiant. So that is the work that God is doing in us individually, in us as a church. But then he goes even further, and the reason why he's painting this picture of a body is because he's trying to show how connected the head is to the body. Okay, so the head cannot be separated from this body. So God is saying that he's the head and we are his body. And just as if you are hungry, you would eat, and if you wash yourself and you'll dress yourself, they're not separate from each other. So God is trying to paint a picture of a head and a body that are completely, completely connected and completely, completely interdependent. And then he takes it further and he says, this is how husbands should love their wives. So let's read in Ephesians 5, verse 28. It says, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church." So he's saying, as husbands love their wives, they are so connected to their wives that by loving your wife, you are actually loving yourself. It says nobody ever hated their body, but he feeds and he cares for it. So by a husband looking after his wife, by a husband being kind to his wife, it says he's actually being kind to himself. And in the same way, if a husband is harsh towards his wife, or if he's critical towards her, or if he's impatient, or if he neglects her, he's so connected to his wife that he's actually neglecting himself. That you cannot be, and I want to say vice versa, okay? So it's for the wife and the husband the same, because we can't. We are so one that we can't be harsh to the other person without it affecting us. And then it goes even further, and it says, the husband will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And if it was me writing this, I would say that it's kind of mysterious. So I would say it would be the husband leaving his father and mother and be united to his wife in spirit. Or maybe I would say be united to his wife in soul. But it actually says they're united and they become one flesh. So God is trying to explain to us how one we become. So if this is the wife before marriage and this is the husband before marriage, it says when you leave your father and mother and you are united with your wife, you actually become one flesh. So you actually become one in spirit, soul, and body. And this is how one you become. And that's why if the husband loves his wife, he's loving himself. And if the wife is kind to her husband, she's kind to herself, because we are so interconnected. And if we neglect our bodies, if we neglect the other person, it's not separate from us. You are going to experience it in your own life if you are not loving your spouse. And that's why it is so devastating when people get divorced, because it's very hard to separate these two from one another again, because God has made us one. The amazing thing of this, everybody's like, big eyes. The amazing thing is ultimately this is a picture of God and this and his church, of him being so one with us that ultimately God wants this to be great. God wants this to be such an awesome reflection on earth of his relationship with us, that we all desire it and that other people look at it. And I didn't want to say this. I said to God, Lord, I didn't see in my marriage or in other marriages such an amazing picture of him that I would look at that and say, wow, that must be how God loves us. Maybe in Johnny and Delesti, but sorry, I don't want to lift anyone up. But the reality is, then God said, but this is the truth. And that is his desire for us. So if that's his desire for us, he's going to give us everything we need to have great marriages so that we can reflect him in this world. And then one of the keys I felt God gave me during Relationship Month is he said, do not take each other for granted. And to take somebody for granted means to fail, I think there's a slide there, to fail to properly appreciate someone or something, especially as a result of overfamiliarity. So it's to fail to properly appreciate someone or something, especially as a result of overfamiliarity. So in this case, it would be the someone would be our spouse and the something would be our marriage. So if God is saying to us, do not take each other for granted, he's saying that sometimes we can become a little bit too familiar with each other. And sometimes we can take each other a little bit for granted and stop really appreciating each other. And I think especially in a Christian marriage, and most of us, or almost all of us are Christians here, and in a Christian marriage, especially if you really love one another or really want to do God's will, you kind of can assume that the other person will be loyal to you. You kind of can assume that they're not going to walk around, they're going to do their best to love you, that they're going to always, you know, try to grow in their love for you, that they're going to provide for you. And sometimes we can just start taking that for granted. We can just sort of, you know, not really show affection, not really show appreciation. And that's one thing I feel God wants to challenge us, that for our husbands to appreciate the fact that they're our provider. Because we can just kind of get used to the fact that they're a provider, but actually you have a provider. And for the wife to appreciate the fact that she's cooking for you, that she's putting a meal on the table for you and the children, that she's looking after herself, that she looks after kids. Sometimes just once in a while, the husbands have to take an afternoon and drive the kids around, you know, if the wife is busy, and then they're like, they're exhausted. Like, how do you do this? But we become so used to, but that's kind of your role, that's what you do, that we don't really appreciate each other enough. So for us, a lot of you have been to our home, but we've got really, really green grass, really nice, nice garden, because Andries really loves looking after, no, he doesn't love looking after the garden, he just, he looks after the garden. and he cuts grass. Our grass grows a lot. So he cuts in the summer, he cuts the grass almost twice a week. But then every time he has cut the grass, almost every time, he says to me, "Did you see I cut the grass?" I'm like, "Yes, I saw that you cut the grass." And but like, he says that every week. So eventually I was like, why does he always ask me whether I saw that he cut the grass? Because ultimately, he just wants me to appreciate the fact that he's cutting the grass, that he's doing it for us, that it's not his joy and passion in life to have a nice green garden grass, but to just appreciate that he's doing it for us. And in the same way, like, I don't really love cooking. When we got married, I literally didn't know how to boil an egg. We ate mincemeat for at least 6 months. I think that's all we ate, mincemeat and tuna mate. That was like the repertoire. But if I was on my own, I can live on rice crackers. I wouldn't make myself big meals. But for our family, I do. I cook, and so we've got a grading system in our house. So this is how nice I am. So we've got a grading system. After we've eaten, I ask them to grade. Like, would they eat this once a week, once a month, or once a year? So if they tell me, like, "Love, you can make this once a year," it means can that one. If it's once a month, I can, it's nice. And if it's once a week, they love it. But then once I start making it once a week, they tell me it's boring. So I can't win, but cooking is boring for me. But what I've realized in the last few months is if Andries just sits with me while I'm cooking, he can just sit on the chair and just chat to me while I'm cooking, it becomes a joy. It's no longer a burden to me. And that kind of links a little bit to love languages, which is one of the things we mentioned, is that our love languages can change. So if you figured out your wife or husband's love language 20 years ago, it's not always the same. It can change. So for me, I realized just spending time together doing something is now more of a love language for me than, say, for example, gifts were. So it's important to keep finding out what makes the other person feel loved. But if we take each other for granted, What will happen is we will stop making an effort. So we will stop doing or do less and less of the things we actually know we should do. And that was this whole month has been about. If you've been to the Wednesdays and the Sundays, I think God has been reminding us. Most of the stuff is not new, but it's just reminding us how to have great marriages. And what I've realized is that sometimes we just slip up in doing the things that we know we should do. So some of the things, when we start taking each other for granted, will be we'll not do the coffee dates anymore or the dinner dates anymore. And in Hermanus, we honestly don't have an excuse. I know it's expensive to go for a meal, but we can take a coffee mug from home and go and sit at the sea, and it's better than a coffee date in a coffee shop most of the time. So make time, go on the dates, go on the coffee dates, because you need time to connect. You need time to just say, this is your time. And we can be fine. Our marriages can be fine, but we don't want fine. We want great marriages. So we need to do the things that we know takes a little bit of effort, and we need to make the effort. So dates are important. Dressing nice for each other, doing thoughtful things, calling each other or texting each other during the day. Just say, hi, I was thinking of you. How are you doing? Just send each other a text. Show each other affection. And I have to have my confession because my mom is sitting here. And she's been, she stayed with us for a couple of weeks after a knee operation. And so while living with us for a few weeks, at one stage, I think she just couldn't contain herself. She's very good at not telling us what to do. She's really great. But after a while, she said to me, Lisa, the dog in the house is getting the most affection in this house. And it hit home. It was like, ooh, I don't like it if my mom tells me what to do. But I had to think about it. Like, am I showing Andries the same amount of affection that I did at the beginning? Am I loving and caring and showing affection? So show each other affection and give each other your attention. I think it's one of the things that was said on Wednesday as well. But our phones are always in the way. We're always on our phones. We're always texting and chatting. And some of it is important. Some of it is not important. But then we're on our phones and our spouse is chatting to us and we're not giving them our attention. We're just kind of, you know, like, and then we're missing them. So put down the phone, look at each other when you're talking to each other, give each other attention. And then don't neglect intimacy. I think it's a super important part of our marriage. And if you had to, just for a second, just take a couple of seconds just to evaluate where your marriage is at the moment. Is it okay? Is it nice? You know, we're nice. Is it great? Is it terrible? You know, where are you at the moment? Because if we are okay with okay, it will lead to us just cohabiting nicely together. Nice Christians, you know, being nice to each other, but we're just like cohabiting. We're just living together. And I really don't believe that is God's will for us. I really believe God wants us to have all the joy and the life that He intentioned for our marriage. It's not just the marriage. It's actually having somebody to do this amazing life with and to enjoy marriage together. So the first thing in not taking each other for granted is to again appreciate each other. Appreciate the little things. Appreciate what they do for you. And then the second thing is to be intentional again. If you want to get fit, we all know what we need to do to get fit. You know, you actually have to run. You actually have to cycle. You actually have to do something. But if we know everything we need to do to get fit, but we don't do any of that, or we only do it once a month, we're not going to get fit. So in the same way, we have to be, if you want to be fit, you need to be intentional. And if you want to have a great marriage, you have to be intentional. You have to do, it's not things we don't know. We know what to do. We just don't always do it. But just to ask God, what are the things that you are reminding me? What are the things in the past 3 weeks that you have like niggled on me and said, okay, you've slipped up on that area? To just be intentional to do it again. And then to be intentional in loving each other. Andy Stanley says it so well. He says, love isn't a noun. Love is a verb. Love is something that we do. So 1 Corinthians 13 explains what love is. And it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And love never fails. And if we just even look in the first two, love is patient and love is kind. If we just focus on those two, it will radically improve our marriages. Just to be patient. Instead of biting back or saying something harshly, to be patient. And instead of just for the other person being around, to intentionally be kind. So these are also, this is what love is and how love looks, but it requires us to be intentional in loving each other. And since our marriage, if we go back to that Ephesian scripture, is actually a reflection of Christ's love for the church, it is in it's not only God's desire, but it's actually for His glory if our marriages reflect that. If our marriages reflect that relationship between us and Him. Then the next thing I felt God say to me last week while we were praying for church, I felt Him saying to me that, do not take my Holy Spirit for granted. Do not take my Holy Spirit or my presence for granted. And what we see here in John 16, verse 7, it says, but I tell you the truth, this was before Jesus was crucified. He was speaking to His disciples and He said to them, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, in the Amplified it says, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. So we see here, before Jesus left, He said, listen, something important is going to happen when I go, and I want to send the Holy Spirit to you. But the Holy Spirit cannot come unless I go. And what I felt is God saying, we mustn't neglect the Holy Spirit. We mustn't take Him for granted. Because we see in the disciples' lives, as soon as Jesus left, there was a radical transformation in their relationship and their relating to the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that happened when Jesus left, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues and prophesying, and they started operating in power. They were bold in the way they spoke. And then something else that stood out for me throughout Acts, it was the way that they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So in Acts 15, verse 28, it said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So it's like the Holy Spirit is with them, the person, just like Jesus was with them. That's how they now related to the Holy Spirit that was with them. So they consulted with Him. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And then they made a decision. Then in Acts 16, it says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So the Holy Spirit was leading them and guiding them and talking to them. In Acts 13, verse 2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from Me Barnabas and Saul. And also in Acts 11, verse 12, it says, the Spirit told Me to have no hesitation about going with them. So we see here the way the disciples had a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, and they really related to Him like the Counselor, the one, the Helper, the one who comes alongside, the Advocate, the one who's always strengthening Him and teaching them. And they were always consulting with Him, always talking to Him, always listening to what He was saying. And I felt the Lord say, the same way He's telling us in our marriages to be intentional. He wants us to be intentional in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if we've neglected the Holy Spirit, or if we have taken Him for granted, how do we fix it? The first thing is to appreciate Him again. Just like in our marriages, where we appreciate each other again, let's appreciate who the Holy Spirit is. I think sometimes we forget that God said He pours out His Holy Spirit in us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God actually living with us, in us. So just appreciate again who He is, that He's not just this force or this power, but He's our Helper, He's our Comforter, He's our Counselor, which implies He's talking to us and we're listening and speaking to Him. So firstly, just to appreciate again, just to meditate again on who it is that the Holy Spirit is in our lives, the person that is with us, and then to be intentional in our relationship with Him. To wake up in the morning, how can we be intentional in our relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is when you wake up, to just say, good morning, Holy Spirit. To just start that conversation first thing in the morning. To just chat to Him throughout the day. To listen to Him throughout the day. And again, this is where our phones are really in the way, and our music and the things, but we need to be quiet. If we want to hear and speak to us, we actually need times of just being quiet to just say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Just say, Lord, speak to me. Hear His voice, because He is speaking to us. We're just not always taking the time to listen to Him and to build on this very valuable relationship in our lives. And ultimately, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but just it will lead to that scripture where it's about the vine and the branches. Where God says He wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit, and He wants us to, those who have the Holy Spirit, to actually walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Not just occasionally checking in or, you know, like, but to actually walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to walk with Him. And that's available to all of us if we're just intentional about connecting with Him. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So this connection with the Holy Spirit, this relationship with the Holy Spirit, will actually result in that love and power of God actually constantly flowing through us, which will result in the fruit, which is works that we do, but also the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is again the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, which again links to what love is, doesn't it? So as we continue in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, as we're intentional about walking with the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace will increase. And guess what? That will go back into our marriages. So as we grow in our love and in our patience and in our kindness, it must have an overflow into our relationships, because again, we are one. And just like we are one with God and Him with us as our church, so we are with one another. So I just really feel like God's saying to us to be intentional, to be intentional in our relationships, but to also realize that it's impossible to love another imperfect person the way God wants us to do. So we can try, and what happens to most of us after a relationship week or a month or a weekend is that we really try to do it for a while, but we run out of steam. But if we say, God, help me to do this, Lord, connect with the Holy Spirit, grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit so that those fruit can grow and increase in our lives, it will spill over into our marriages, and that will spill over into the love and the joy and the peace that increases, while also being intentional in loving the other person. So, and the Holy Spirit, as we grow with Him, is going to empower us to have this relationship. God doesn't give us a command or put something before us which is impossible if He empowers us to also do it. So God's heart for us, I really believe, is not just to have okay marriages or to have bad marriages, but to actually have great marriages. And He's given us everything we need to have this in this life already. To be, again, appreciate each other, to be intentional with each other, but also to appreciate the Holy Spirit is with us and to be intentional in our relationship with Him. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, for Your word and for Your word that is the truth, Lord. And Lord, that Your word is accompanied by power, Lord. So Father, we want to pray, Lord, for all the marriages that are here, Lord. Father, thank You that it's Your heart, Lord, to have great marriages, because You want us to reflect You in this world, Father. So Father, we pray, God, for those marriages that are really in a difficult place, Lord. And for those marriages that are in an okay space, and those marriages that are in a good space, Lord. Father, that all of us, Lord, Lord, that You wanting to put everything together, Lord, to repair what is broken and to build on what is already there, Lord. Thank You, Father, that we can just come and submit our hearts and our marriages to You. And Holy Spirit, we want to thank You, Lord, that You are our comforter, that you are our advocate, that you are our best friend, Lord. And we pray that all of us, Lord, will grow in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, thank you that we can come to you this morning and just take a moment and reflect on your word, what you are saying to us this morning. And Lord, as we reflect on it, I really believe there's some of us this morning that the Lord is speaking to about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that we should not take Him for granted, but be intentional in our relationship with Him. That we come back to that place of first love towards God and experiencing His love, but also being intentional in responding to Him. And while our eyes are closed, if you can identify with that, that you realize that you also need to be intentional with Him, I just want you to respond to Him right now where you are seated. Just in your own words. If you want to respond to the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, I want to be intentional towards you again. Lord, I want to start over again from not focusing on you, for taking you for granted, for simply living my life as a Christian and not continuing in this relationship. If you are here this morning, you want to be intentional again about the Holy Spirit and your relationship with Him, I just want you to respond to Him while all the eyes are closed. If that is your desire, just stretch out your hand. Just respond to Him. Say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I want to be intentional. Just between you and God, you just raise your hand, you drop it. It's just an act of your faith. You're saying, Lord, I want to be intentional about you. And so, Lord, I ask, Lord, as people are responding right now to you, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come, Lord, and just renew in us a love and a desire for you. To wake up every day with an excitement and an expectation to be led by you. Lord, that we will be a people who not only live by the Spirit, but walk by the Spirit, Lord. And so I pray for each and every heart that is responding to you today, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just come afresh and new and fill us again with that love and excitement for you and our focus on you. And maybe you're here this morning and as Lisa was preaching, you realized that in your own marriage, you've become familiar with one another and you have a desire to start afresh, to start new, not just with your spouse, but before God. Where you want to say, Lord, today I want to be intentional about my marriage, about my partner.